today on Real Radio.
There is no doubt about it that Jesus Christ divides the world. I can mention any name in the world at any given time, and there's no problem. But the moment I mention Jesus, I've got people's attention.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days, as he continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from, to have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. Now, as we head further into chapter 2, we'll find God's prophetic timeline. It's in this portion of Scripture where all that we've seen and heard confirms to us that we're living in the last days. Jesus encouraged us to be watchful and to keep looking up because we don't know the day or the hour of His return. The rapture of the church is yet to be fulfilled, and it can happen at any time. The believer's best hope for the future is that it will happen soon. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us in review that our mission ends when Christ comes and delivers the church out of the earth. This culture we live in is no longer us, and our identity is no longer our own, but Christ's. We don't belong here anymore, and the Lord is already preparing a place for us to receive Him to Himself. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Today I'm going to ask you to grab your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we are really literally coming now, I have to tell you. This is the portion of Scripture of 2 Peter chapter 2. When we get down in our Scripture reading, we've been reading it for weeks now. We're going to get to verse 9, which ends this section. And I have to confess, I have been so waiting for verse 9. In fact, all of the previous teachings were all preparation for verse 9. And that's where we're at today. So we're looking at a message entitled, What You Really Need to Know. It's like a mini-series that has happened in 2 Peter chapter 2. But we're looking at what you need to know in these last days. And it begins 2 Peter chapter 2. You guys know it well if you've been joining us. Verse 4, Peter says, For or since God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one out of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world or upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That righteous man dwelling among them was tormented or had his soul tormented from day to day by seeing and hearing their evil deeds. And here's where we end our mini-series. This is the push of it all. Then, this is an announcement of, in light of all that you've heard, this is what God is doing. And this is what God is doing now in America and the world. Then, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under the punishment for the day of judgment. That's the thrust of this entire series. That small little verse, verse 9, is the very power and announcement to what he's been teaching. You guys know previously, and I don't want to spend much time on it because we've got a lot of ground to cover, and I encourage you to take notes today. But in verse 4, we saw that our enemies really is something that we really need to know about, and that they're not human. Remember, we studied that in detail, all about the angelic realm, that they're spirit beings. He warns in the Bible that they were judged, that they reside in a realm altogether different than what you and I know, that the Bible announces there are angelic beings, there are spirit beings who reside in a realm, a world altogether strange to us as mortals. Angels are real, said Jesus. Angels are real, says the Bible. And then lastly on that point regarding our enemy that is not human is the fact that they're being held. Many of them are being held in contempt. That is, God says that they are reserved unto the day of judgment. And then secondly, we saw in verse 5 that we have a mission. And that as believers all around the world, and perhaps more now than ever before, our mission is an urgent mission. And we saw three things about that. That mission is to pronounce judgment. And I know that's uncomfortable for us. None of us want to walk around pronouncing judgment on people, nor are we called to do that. But we are invited by the Bible to announce to the unbelieving world that God judges sin. And we read a moment ago that there was the world of the angelic realm that had sinned, angels that had fallen. We don't know how many. The Bible says 1/3 of the angels were deceived by Lucifer, Satan, and they sinned, they fell. But also those of Noah's day, when God delivered Noah and his family out of the time of the great flood. But those who rejected God were swept away. So we're talking about judgment, and we're being introduced to deliverance. And then we also saw the fact that in this judgment, there is the believer, you and I, that are to live our lives walking around living and being people that represent the word of God truly. And then we also saw that our mission extends mercy. And this is amazing because, church, we sat here several weeks ago and we went through that in detail. And little did we know that we would be thrust now into this moment where we are extending mercy to our community and beyond. How this church, just one church, this one church in a community of many, but this one church has mobilized and has gone out and to show acts of mercy, acts of love regarding this urgent mission. This is pretty cool. The company that supplies bread to some restaurants in the region, they wound up donating just tons and tons of bread to us, and that bread's been going out to people in need. Mercy. The time is urgent. And all this is building up to our closing message of this section. And then last time together, we saw the fact that it ends in absolute completeness, that the Lord is coming. And the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back, that is in the mindset of so many people. It ought to be in the mindset of everybody, that Christ is coming back. And the Bible makes it very clear that it ends when Christ comes and delivers his church. And we saw last time in our final study before leading to this moment, we saw that our identity is no longer our own. We're no longer us in Christ, that we are now Christians. And the fact that that happened to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus is that the world is no longer us. This world is strange to us as believers. Have you noticed that? Have you been reminded of that lately? You look around, the world is different. It's no longer in your heart as a believer. You may be tempted by the world. I get that. But you understand that you don't belong here anymore. And I absolutely revel in that, that the world is no longer us. We saw also that this culture is no longer us. We see things on TV. We hear things spoken. We see things being broadcast or hear things on the radio, and we just push back. There's the Spirit of God in us, the Holy Spirit that we learned about on Wednesday night, that pushes back from evil. And then we saw in closing that our life is no longer our own, that Christ now rules us, and it's a glorious truth. So church, dial down now on verse 9 of this second chapter of 2 Peter. Look at it again. Then the Lord knows how, number one, to deliver the godly out of temptations. And number two, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. There is no doubt about it that Jesus Christ divides the world. I can mention any name in the world at any given time, and there's no problem. But the moment I mention Jesus, I've got people's attention. I've told you before, but I'll say it again. Whenever my wife and I or family were watching a movie at a theater, and somebody might say something, or maybe even on TV, somebody might say something that uses the name of God in the wrong light, we respond publicly. No matter what it is, somebody might say, oh, Jesus, this, and we say, is Lord. And we practice that. And it's kind of fun. It takes a moment where people don't even know what they're talking about, but they mention the name Jesus, and we redeem it by saying, is Lord. And that's the challenge for us today. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives? So friends, as we take our fourth and final look, it is this right now. What you really need to know, and specifically now verse 9 about these last days, mark it down, is that the rapture is a biblical doctrine. You say, Jack, where do you get that from? Oh, look closely in verse 9. It says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. This is a reference to the Lord coming for his people. And listen, it's twofold at the least. Number one, it's regarding the rapture. The Bible teaches that the rapture is something, and we'll see it in a moment, that is throughout the Bible. And the rapture is an event that is very controversial. It should be, and the Bible said it would be. And the rapture doctrine is something that is very, very dividing. When I say dividing, I mean it this way. I mean that it divides the believer from the unbeliever or the non-believer. When Jesus Christ comes suddenly, he will divide the believer from the unbeliever. And the rapture will take place. And you're going to learn all about it this morning. And it's all based on that portion of verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver you if you're a Christian. Listen, right now, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact of the matter is God has deposited a mark upon you, so to speak. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, he has marked you, sealed you until the day of redemption. What does that mean? It means that God looks, as it were, all around the world right now, and he can see those that are his. You know, we talk a lot about today regarding identity and facial recognition and hand recognition. You know, many of us, we can go in and out of customs now at our airports by just either looking at a screen. I remember not too long ago, I boarded a flight. I forget where, but it was either Frankfurt, Germany or France. It doesn't matter. I was en route to somewhere. And it just looked at my face. I had my passport on me, but the scanner looked at my face and a green light went on and the customs door opened up and I was able to board the aircraft. Identity. If man can identify man in the technology that we've created, then how much more can God absolutely identify us by the power of his Holy Spirit? And that's what he does. And you're marked as a believer. You might be sitting right there in your living room or your apartment right now, or wherever you're at in the world. And if you're trusting Jesus Christ, you are marked. Marked for a moment, I might add. The Bible tells us that that moment could be the rapture of the church. But first of all, let's do our homework. Let's get ready. I'm going to give you a lot of verses of the Bible. I'm going to ask you to do your homework by writing them down. What you really need to know is the fact that the rapture is a biblical doctrine, and it begins, Jesus is the one that even introduces it. It begins in John 14, verse 1. Many of you know this, but maybe it's sweeter now to our ears than ever before. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Everybody at home, get your finger ready. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. Where did he go? He went to heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Listen to this, that where I am, heaven, there you may be also. And I want to ask you, if you're a skeptic in the rapture right now, I want to ask you this question. If Jesus Christ left, if Jesus went away to prepare a place for us, and he said he would do that, the question is, did he leave? After being resurrected from the tomb, did Jesus Christ ascend back to heaven? Yes. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, where does the Bible say Jesus Christ is right now? In heaven. And he said, I'm going to leave heaven just long enough to come back and to receive you to myself, that wherever I am, heaven, you will be also. He's going to come and receive the believers at a particular time. I pray it's today. And he's going to receive them to himself and then deposit us in that place that he has been preparing. Now, a lot of people today want to argue about the rapture. For the life of me, I cannot figure that out. Because let's be honest, every Bible-believing Christian agrees and understands the rapture is a biblical doctrine. What they don't agree upon is the timing of it. And that's okay. We can disagree on the timing. You could be wrong about that, but I lovingly say we could be raptured today. The doctrine of imminency, as we'll see in a moment, is something that teaches the Bible could have this fulfillment happen to us today. And you need to know that. But I want to stress this, that the pulpit ministry of the church today needs to be very clear right now about hope. And it's not some pipe dream, it's not some silly thing to preach the fact that not only can we have, listen, not only can we have hope in the midst of persecution and in the moment of devastation, we can have hope in the moment of pestilence, disease, viruses like we see around the world right now at this hour. But it's a hope that announces to us that Christ could come at any time. Listen, it's a hope that causes us to look up, and it's a hope that keeps us going forward. None of us need to be afraid. Stop being afraid. We do not need to be afraid because, first of all, it doesn't do anything. Second of all, it doesn't make things better. It actually makes everything worse. But here's the main thing. When you realize that God has given you and I the opportunity to be alive at this time, and let's be honest, there are some who are sick. By the way, there are far many people sick in the world of other things than the coronavirus. And some of them may die. You may die. Do you trust Christ? Do you know Jesus? Here's the ultimate hope. Jesus said, if a man were to die believing in me, yet shall he live. Do you know that? The ultimate hope is having Christ now in your life, and Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You can drive downtown Los Angeles and there's a building. It's been there for I don't know how many decades. And atop that building, and it's written in red, neon red, it says Jesus saves. And that's still true today. Jesus saves. But never should the pulpit at a time like this be a place of weakness, gloom, or apathy at any time. But in times like these, the pulpit ought to be all the more ablaze with truth. And that truth should point all Christians to the blessed hope it's called in the Bible, the rapture, the gathering of his church to himself at his return. Christ is coming. We need to get excited about that. And we'll soldier on until he comes, but we need to be looking up. But you might ask the question, how is he going to do this? Pastor Jack, you're saying in this first argument that the Bible teaches us that the rapture is a biblical doctrine and all that is true. And all these preceding verses speak to us about God separating the righteous from the unrighteous. But how's he going to do it? If it's a biblical doctrine, then does it explain in the Bible how it's going to happen? Oh, yes. Get your notes ready. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. The word in Greek is mysterion. It doesn't mean that Paul's making something up. It means it's a truth that has always been. It means that it's eternal. And you need to hear some of this. Listen, he is saying, I'm going to tell you something that has always been eternal, but it's being revealed publicly now. This is a great, great bit of hope and encouragement to us. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep in the Bible refers to the believer's body at the time of death. Allow me to change it for our English language. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, Paul says, we shall be changed. That's how he's going to do it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I assume you do, maybe for some of you right now, you're hearing it for the first time. Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and he rose again from the dead. Even so, God will bring with him those who died in Jesus, believers who in these last 2,000 years died trusting Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Their dead bodies will come out of the ground. Now the believer, listen, previously to this moment right now, when a believer dies, their body goes into the ground, but their spirit goes to be with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's at a moment, instant of time at death. You go to be with Jesus at the moment of death. Isn't that good news? If you're a believer, the Bible says that Jesus that is coming for the church is going to resurrect those dead bodies. They're going to get brand new bodies, resurrected bodies. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. It's the word rapture in Latin. If you don't have a Latin Bible, you have in English the words caught up. Harpazo in the Greek language, rapture in the Latin language. You're going to be caught up. The word means to be quickly, almost violently, we could say, in a twinkling of an eye, caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds, it says here, and to meet him in the air. And thus we shall always, listen, this is key, always be with the Lord. Well, where was that? Where is that? John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the Bible says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And I want to make that word familiar to you today. Comfort one another with these words. Christ is coming back. Are you ready to meet him? You say, I don't know if I am. Then trust Jesus, having gone to the cross and dying there for your sins. The Bible says he rose again from the dead. He died in your place, my place. All of our sins were covered by Christ at the cross. But listen, here's the fine print. It's very important. Not everyone benefits from the crucifixion of Christ. Not everyone benefits from the resurrection of Christ. That great gift given to man, for God so loved the world that he gifted the world his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's a gift, but you must choose to receive that gift.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, the more we discover about Peter and what the Bible says about his character and belief system, the more the impact he'll have on us in defending our faith. So, in your journey for the truth, it's important to Pastor Jack that you also know who he is and what his faith mission is all about. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find information about Pastor Jack's ministry, his statement of faith, the many ways you can follow him on social media, and how to connect and send your own gift of support if you'd like to do that. It's all right there for you to discover when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.